listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So,
okay, so, all right, welcome to DMTF, Don't Mention the Foosball, episode 46. It's good to have you back. We've been on a little break. My name is Patrick, and we are joined with the usual suspects today. Simon, how are you?
I'm as well as can be expected under the circumstances, I think they would say.
Yes, good call. And we have Marcus as well. How are you?
Hi, guys and girls. I'm doing very fine. It's minus 6 degrees and snowy in Berlin, and everything is covered in white. The first time this year, almost it feels.
I think, yeah, it's minus 6 as well here. We always have snow here in the winter, so, you know, it is what it is. How is it looking in your neck of the woods, Simon?
I was about to say, unusually, there's even some snow here.
Oh, my God.
It's not as cold as minus 6, but it probably will get quite a lot colder overnight, but it's been sort of snowing all day. It's not been sticking until now. But it got to the stage of lighting the greenhouse heater. So there you go.
The world is going to shit.
It is. It is. Totally.
There is no way around it. Yeah. And speaking of going to shit, we can talk about the last few Hertha games. Actually, yeah, I came up with a few stats. Our last win was against... Okay. If we flash back to previously, the previous win... Before Schalke was about a month ago, I think. The win before that was against Union, and that was 10 games ago. So since the win against Union, we won one against Schalke. We've drew 3 times, and we lost 6 times. So for a grand total of 6 points, we scored 7 times, and we conceded 17 goals. And we lost 3-0, 4-1, and 3-1 in 3 consecutive weeks before Labbadia was sacked after the 4-1 defeat.
Are you trying to cheer us up here?
It is a grim picture. It is a grim picture. Although, well, I mean, we can... Okay, obviously, nothing new here. We are a little bit all over the map. Today, but we can talk a little bit about the game yesterday against Bayern. 1-0 defeat. We deserved better, I think. What do you remember from that game? What's your takeaway from that game, Simon?
I think we could have done. We could have got more out of that. I mean, the goal that we conceded was, you know, a bit of a fluke in some ways, wasn't it? Because there was a massive deflection, and then it came off on the underside of the crossbar, to give that goal. And Jahrstein, who to be fair has done pretty well really in the time that he's been back, he had no chance from that. You know, what with one thing and another, and the rest of the game. You know, we didn't have as much possession as Bayern, but you kind of wouldn't expect that. And our guys ran a lot more than theirs did, which again, without the possession, you would expect. But for the most part, the defence and things was quite good. And there were a few sort of chances and things up front. We could have sneaked a little bit more out of that. I mean, you know, in these sort of days, yeah, to get a 1-0 defeat from Bayern is not such a bad thing, I suppose.
I think the Cunha miss was the absolute dagger in the chest.
Yeah, you know?
That should have been 1-1. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah. What about you, Marcus? What do you remember most from that game?
Well, I think we would have deserved that last goal from Cunha, but on the other side, well, I wasn't so mad at him like many others that he chipped the ball, because I think if you are in such a position, like either you go left or right of Neuer, or you chip it above him, and he chipped it above him, and just it looked a bit artsy, but at the end it was. I would have, like, if the ball is in the goal, then everybody, like, oh, Cunha is such a genius. And then now he shot the next, like, he chipped next to the goal. And so he's not a magician anymore. But I think, yeah, we would have deserved it. On the other side, it's the first game since the last time I was sitting here with you after we were Derby Sieger, after we won against Union. It's the second time since then that I'm actually happy after a game, even if we lost. Yeah, okay. Because...
What about Schalke? What about the Schalke win?
I expected that. I wasn't in a good mood about after that one as well, but I really felt more like it was more something what had to be expected. And then I actually thought we would go to win the next games against, what was it, like Bielefeld and Werder Bremen, and like this January where we should have collected points, and that didn't happen. So it was really...
Well, that was the death knell, wasn't it, for the existing...
Exactly. It was death and Prince's death as well.
Yeah, after Schalke, 1-0 defeat against Bielefeld, and then 0-0 against Köln, and then 3-0, 3-0 against Offenheim. And yeah, there you go. The next game is against Frankfurt, I think.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think we were quite unlucky there, though, weren't we? In some ways. And we were playing a lot better because that was the first game with Dardai back. I think we sort of played sort of quite nicely for the most part. And it was quite good to see Piontek and things coming forward. I mean, that was quite a nice little goal, things from him, the first one.
I think it was
a pass from Cunha, I think, wasn't it, that led to that.
Sorry, I said the next game, but I meant the previous game.
Well,
the one against Bayern. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think everyone was still so happy to see Dardai back that, okay, like, you know, maybe they were still hungover from the previous night or something. But a better result would have been nice, but, you know, it is what it is.
But the scoreline looked... Well, I feel perhaps that's just me looking with rose-tinted glasses. I don't know, but I think that the scoreline of 3-1 looked worse than it really was, because we sort of took the lead in the first instance with that goal from Piontek, and then very soon afterwards we lost the lead, and then the penalty at the end was perhaps a little bit iffy. I felt because I think Cunha sort of went down for the penalty at the end, but I thought he got the ball. I thought perhaps I'm wrong, but you know, the penalty was given, and you know what could you do?
I'll be honest with you, I remember nothing from that game. Marcos, what about you? What do you remember anything from that game?
Yes, well, I was quite optimistic, but I usually am. I even am optimistic against Bayern. I was quite optimistic because I think actually, in the beginning I was very disappointed about letting Labbadia go, but then I realized with Paldave probably, like if there's somebody who can take over some kind of leadership, he might be actually the right person. So I was a bit because he's the kind of. Daddy, or you know the kind of the motivator, the father figure, and also somebody who's a very strong personality and is maybe able to unify a team in the positive sense, not like that, to create a team spirit, because this Dada is this kind of type. So it was actually pretty positive. But then with Frankfurt, you saw they're very exactly. But then in Frankfurt, you saw that they are really playing. Much, much better than we do. We are not there where we could be. But that's something what I always had against Frankfurt. Frankfurt, they're very, I don't know if it's a bit sexist to say, but they're very, a very cocky team. Can you say that? Or is that the wrong language?
Yeah. I think so.
You know, like, I don't know why this is, maybe this whole Yugoslavian guys there, like... beating the shit out of us poor, you know, like we are this young team of young guys, and like they since years already, our team is scared of these bossy, yeah, maybe bossy is the better term, mm. of these bossy guys hitting on us. And Frankfurt really, like, they came like this.
He's trying to say that Frankfurt are these big soft macho guys that are getting in there and duffing us up.
Yeah, indeed.
Knocking us off the ball. The next game is against Stuttgart. Is there any reason to be optimistic?
Ask me.
Yes.
Yeah, Marcus, please.
Always. Yes. Wes. I think Sabina asked on Twitter about is there hope or something like that?
There were a few questions, actually.
Yes, there is always hope. Hope is the last thing to die, they always say.
Hope dies last. That's true.
Yep, that's the one.
That's true.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, hopefully the team is starting to gel with a sort of Dardai way of doing things. I think a lot of it depends on sort of leadership, sort of within the team as much as, back in the dressing room, to some extent. One of the things that I saw, this is a complete distraction, but I'm good at that.
It's okay.
one of the things that sort of cropped up, they brought in sort of Sami Khedira.
Because
lots of people said about the fact that he was he's a good leader and he'd be good in the dressing room and all that kind of stuff, which may well be true, but in the comparatively sort of recent past, you've had the likes of Kalou and Ibisevic and things that have been sort of let go and they've gone off elsewhere, and they've gone off to do sort of whatever they're doing now. And they were sort of quite experienced people that knew a lot about how things worked and sort of good leaders on the pitch and especially in the case of Ibisevic on things, yeah. I think. And yet they brought in some other sort of old guy to do the same kind of role, which is a bit odd, I think, from sort of my perspective. Not that I've got anything against Sami and things at all. That's sort of fine, but... I did think it was sort of slightly odd, and I wonder how that will play out. I mean, hopefully it'll work out very well, but that change, I know it's in the transition between sort of one leadership team, back in the dressing room and another, but it struck me as an odd thing, but that's just me.
I guess the loss of Ibisevic hurt us more than we thought it would, especially since the beginning of the season started going badly. Then they didn't have any leader to get the train back on track,
yeah. Yeah.
And then it just got worse.
Yeah.
So... Yeah,
well, that's the very time that you want a leader, isn't it?
Really? Actually, look, we lost three people. Like, it's Ibisevic and Kraft and Schelbert. And actually, I think I'm not so sure about Ibisevic. He's the most the most present leader. But I think Schelbert, he was also the guy who was actually very important in the defense, because he was the defending midfielder, and he was really . A guy everybody liked and everybody listened to, and he was really this fighter and this fire department man. How do you call it? Like, he called himself fireman. And
fireman, yeah, sure.
I don't know. I'm a bit sure about if Ibisevic was the kind of person what we often expect from him, because Ibisevic is more like, I always thought that he would be a more kind of a destructive leader rather than Schelbert, who was more like the daddy kind of type, a bit like Dadaist as well, this positive thinking guy. And I think Ibisevic
was
a lone fighter.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, but also Ibisevic was a bit of a lone fighter guy instead of a team player, really. But it's just my personal...
maybe sometimes you need a pat on the back and other times you need a kick up the ass. And maybe Ibisevic was good for one and Schelbred was good for the other.
Mm.
And maybe you need both. Maybe they needed both. And maybe that was the balance that they got. Mm. and they didn't realize it would be so important, I guess. But Shellbred, yeah, that's a good
absolutely, a good I should have mentioned that in my sort of list for sure. I mean, he was a great guy.
Maybe they expected someone like Stark or Boyata to pick up that role, but
Stark, I don't think so.
Yeah, and Boyata, I mean, I like Boyata, but sometimes it seems like his decision making is a bit strange sometimes. Or is it me? Would you agree with that? Or
well, for a while, the combination of Boyata and Toru Noriega was you know, worked very well, didn't it?
True.
The trouble is with Jordan, he's sort of troubled with injuries and things, isn't he? And if he could keep playing all the time, I'm sure he would sort of improve massively. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen, which happens to some players, isn't it? What can you do?
Yeah, he's been out for a while. Is Ibisevic had his contract cancelled with Schalke, I think, right? So now is he without a club, or I don't remember.
I think so, actually. I didn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but that's what I thought happened.
The last thing I heard is that Köln was negotiating with him. But nothing more.
I'll look it up. Free agent, last played for Schalke.
He didn't play very much, did he?
Four appearances. That's it. No goals. I mean, now I guess it's too late to bring him in, even if they wanted to, right? Yeah. Can you sign players only during the transfer window? Like free agents, can you sign them anytime? Or
I think he might
only in the first half of the season.
Okay.
Only the first half, not after the winter anymore. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
All right. That's a shame.
Over now for him.
That would have been fun.
He could move
that
to
is a
Norway,
shame.
Maybe.
I mean, that would have, you know, brought some maybe much needed action, you know, in the good sense, in the good way.
Sami Khedira and Vedat Tibisevic, like they would raise our age, the age of our squad.
Yes.
Yes.
Many years.
Khedira is 33, I think.
Yeah, true. He's not so... Well, I actually think he's just 32. Well, okay, but he's not 38 or
no.
Ibrahimovic.
Oh, no. Zlatan is 39, I think.
So nine, yeah.
Gosh,
still going strong as well. That which is insane.
He's not likely to be coming to hurt her though. I don't.
No, no. But I think it's the Bundesliga is the only top level league in which he didn't play. Like he played in France, he played in Italy, in Spain, in the Netherlands, in England as well.
Netherlands. Yeah.
And nothing in the Bundesliga, right?
And well, he could come to the Bundesliga on the way home. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, like, coming back to Dardai, I think one of the biggest issue was to stabilize the defense, which worked, I think. But now we have to... be more opportunistic and more creative on offense as well.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think of Cordoba so far this season? He's been injured, but he's had a few bad games, you know?
He's had some bad games and he's done quite well in a few of others. But the trouble is he's been so in and out all the time. It's a bit difficult to get a solid opinion of him. In my view, you mean you really need somebody that's a bit more sort of consistent, which you know,
oh, yeah,
we haven't got. Like,
yeah, and also Luca Bacchio. Yeah,
that's definitely the case with him,
yes,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely. quite frustrating.
Yeah, but also Cordoba is the, like at least how the narrative set the whole season. He's the one shooting the goals for us instead of Piontek, because he was the striker fitting the Labbadia system, and Piontek didn't work in that system. So Cordoba, like we heavily relied on Cordoba. But if you look back at the season, Cordoba didn't help us, like or at least not for the table. So
yeah, that's true. But, I think the top scorer is still is Piontek, right? With 5 goals, I think, right?
Is he?
Let me check player stats. Goals. No, Cunha with 6. Sorry. Cordoba with 5 as well. Piontek was with 5. Luka Bacchio with 3. And a few others with 2. That's it.
So much to felt reality and fact reality.
Yeah. Shout out to Pekarik there. Don't forget.
Oh yeah,
Pekarik.
Yes.
Where would we be without Pekarik?
We wouldn't have the Bundesliga logo without Pekarik.
He's yeah.
Also that.
He's our stand-in striker.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. There was a good, I had a question for you guys, but I don't know if I should wait. Okay. I'll ask you now. And when Mike eventually joins, I'll ask him as well. Okay. So now that Preetz is gone, what do you remember the most from the Preetz era? Simon, we can start with you.
I think he did quite well buying players, because sort of going back to his playing career is probably a bit, too far back for me at the moment. Anyway, buying players quite cheaply that did quite well, and I think when it came down to when all this money came sloshing around all over the place, an awful lot of money was spent buying people that haven't really delivered that well. Because he got some sort of really good buys back in the day. We've never done great things, let's be honest about it. But he bought some good people in at a good price. Which in some cases then they sort of got sold on for probably more than they were worth, perhaps. I mean, that's my sort of lingering view of it. But, I mean, to be fair to the guy, he's been at the club for, what, is it 25 years? It's a long time. I mean, you can't fault his commitment. And that deserves quite a lot of respect, whatever you may think of how it turned out in the long term. I mean, that's my snapshot.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Marcos, what do you think? How would you summarize the Preetz era?
It's for me a bit the same. Even if I would maybe put a stronger emphasis on, he made a few really congenious deals with players. Like, well, first the thing is when Kalou came, that he was able to sign Kalou, and then there was the other thing when he got Ibizovic and Stuttgart still paid half the salary of, like, he came for free to us, and Stuttgart wanted to have him gone.
Okay.
Stuttgart still paid the half salary, and then Stuttgart went down relegated in the second league. Like, this was a deal which was great.
Wow.
And then he made a few of these continuous things, like also with Selke, selling Selke for 10 million to Werder Bremen if they do not go, if they don't relegate. And there were a few of these kind of deals where I really thought which is really, really good. But on the other hand, like, he did not have a good hand with coaches.
That's true.
No.
This is only lucky. he had one and a half good strikes. Like, one was Dardai, and the other one was Luhukay as well, which functioned pretty well for these 2.5 years, but then it was over as well. So that was the other side. And I think, and that's the third and last point, and then we're going to welcome our new guest, that he That's what everybody says about that he collected friends around him and people he knew and he trusted, you know. And so this also was, for me, a kind of there's no space for innovation, because, you know, he was there. He of course, he was a very, very committed guy, but there was no corrective inside of the, like in the sports management of the club. And so that's why I think even if he meant everything good and he's a good guy, he stood himself and the club somehow in the way, because he wanted to do everything right and a bit too harmony, like harmonious. I don't know. That's a bit.
So sometimes he did the wrong. He did the wrong things with all the best intentions.
Yes, that's true. All right. Mm-hmm. So now we. This is a first for the show. We welcome a guest mid-recording. So hi.
Sorry
hi,
about
Mike.
This.
No, that's okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, fine. Sorry about this. I'm trying to join on my computer, and then I'm like, wait, I have this on my phone. Give me a second.
Awesome.
So I immediately love the show, listen to it, so it's awesome. I admittedly am not a tactical talker. I will say I'm a casual.
You'll fit in wonderfully.
Yeah, exactly.
I am your prototypical Northeastern American from the wonderful state of New Hampshire that went to Germany, was told by the people at a cafe that I was at to see a real soccer match. I had to go down to Munich, but I was like, no, I want to go to the Olympic Stadium. Oh, yeah. Right on East Germany, I was staying.
What a shitty thing to say to a guest.
I know. It was bad.
Jesus.
Sat the upper bowl as being an American, like, at our stadiums, we don't have smoking, so it was a new thing to me to have people just smoking cigarettes around me. Upper bowl, smoke woofing into my face, fell in love with the team. They originally played, they originally played Leverkusen, and it was... no, they won! They won
nice.
3-4 to nil.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
It was... I think Kalou had... two goals that game. It was back in 2019. Was it 2019? No, it was 2017, because every odd year I've been going to Germany. So that means I'm just on a, hopefully if everything goes back around to normal or normal-ish, I'll be able to make it out there this year. But and then I was at a game in 2019 where I was 7 or 8, a couple rows from the field, and I should have been up further. Silly me, I could have seen more, but love the team. I am a novice individual, as it would be in regards to tactics, but it's just, it's something about walking into that Olympic Stadium. That
Yeah, it's quite something, isn't it?
Oh, it's glorious.
Yeah. I've been... I don't know how many games I've been to, maybe like 15, maybe. But every time you soak it in, and God, it's so good to be back.
Yeah, you know, the atmosphere is amazing, isn't it? It's
As a Bostonian, I've been to Red Sox playoff games, Patriot playoff games, Monday Night Football, Celtics games, you know, Red Sox, Yankees at its peak in 2003, nothing was like the sound just reverberating around the stadium that first time. And I was just hooked.
Yeah. Roger that. Absolutely. I think we've probably talked about this in a previous episode. I think my favorite game ever was, Valentine's Day 2009 against Bayern. We won 2-1. Voronin had a brace. That was the place was rocking. It was
anyone against
awesome.
Bayern at home is just
oh my god,
pretty damn cool.
Yeah, there is nothing beats that, you know. Jesus. I guess we lost Marcus. Did he have connection problems? Or
Perhaps he disappeared, I saw, but yeah, don't know what that was about. But
well, hey. Mike, good timing. You can step in and pick up the slack.
I'll definitely try. I'm more of like the speculator in the chats that we have, looking at the big dreamer, one who's played FIFA too much. It's like, we can sign them if we sell this and that and this and this and that.
if we sign Mbappe, maybe we can convince Neymar to join in. Something like that.
Something about wages or somewhere in there that I don't think we can do that. But no.
Wages? What's that? does he play in a 4-2-2 wages? Who's that guy?
Again, I'm very novice with it, but I will say Dardai was the coach when I first started watching, and I really love what he does and the passion that he brings to the team and to everyone. You can see he loves it.
Yeah, you can see
that he's about Berlin.
Yeah. And go ahead, Simon, sorry.
I mean, totally with Dardai. He's sort of got blue and white blood sort of running through his veins. I mean, that's what like everybody said the first
like
time
on that
round.
Creepy poster, you know.
Yeah. Jesus, yeah, I'm not sure about that poster.
I hated that campaign so much.
No, I wasn't sure about that at all. It was
Jesus.
Yeah. That had echoes, I thought, that campaign, but hey. That's what everybody said about Dardai the first time round. He was sort of hurt all the way through, which is which Fritz was as well, to be fair. I mean, he's a good guy.
That was the what we were talking about just before you came in, Mike. What do you remember? Well, what will you remember from the Preetz era?
So coming in, what I would say is, I'll give the bad first. It's the just constant overturning of coaches, and in the last two years we've had, we're on our fifth coach,
something like that. Yeah.
But it was Dardai, four others, back to Dardai. So technically six, but that, I'll remember that. But the good, I will say, no matter what, it allowed me to, by some stroke of however it is, the team allowed me to, him being the caretaker allowed me to fall in love with the team. The most recently, it was the allowing himself to let go of some of the older players and allowing him to start to grow. But I will say it's the indecisiveness and just that not having a clear, constant view. And even if it does mean struggling with a manager, with a coach for a year, letting them have that full year, have that time to go through with it. I think we shouldn't be on our now fifth coach in the last 2 years. Stick with it. If you don't like it, just let it go to the pain points.
And I guess it's a bit similar to what you were saying earlier, Marcus. Like, Preetz didn't want to have anybody who would disagree with him, pretty much. And that's why it was like, it was Preetz's way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I guess. And wasn't there, like, in when they were relegated, wasn't there a point, like, in 18 months, they had, like, four or five managers? They had the Skibbe, they had the Reagel.
Babel. Yes. Babel was the starting point. It all went downhill from Babel.
But Babel wasn't bad, though. Like, for a while, he was doing pretty good.
Yeah, he lost it. Sorry, go on, Marcus.
Oh no! Well, we had 20 points when Babel left. So 20, and he left like in mid-season, and then Wittmeier took over for one game, at least for a cup game, and then Skibbe came, and then
I think Wittmeier won his game, right? And then Skibbe lost, he was there for 5 games and he lost them all or something like that.
Skibbe was a disaster.
Oh, it was grim. It was grim. And, you know, okay, so I became a Hertha fan after Preetz was, after his playing career. Okay, so I have no recollection of him as a player, only as a, you know, suit upstairs. And what I will remember from Preetz is the 2 relegations. And he still managed to keep his fucking job despite 2 relegations. And that's what I will remember.
Yeah. As a manager in every other company, you will have lost your job after the first one.
Yeah, pack your shit and go, you know?
Tenacity.
Oh, yeah, resilience, yeah. Yeah. We fight, we fail, we get relegated, we fail, we fail.
We keep our job.
We keep our job.
We fight, we fail, we keep our job. There you go.
And maybe we win once in 10 games. Oh, my God. Yeah.
As taking the American look at it is, I guess, the only approach I can have because, well, you know, I grew up around the American sports. Yeah. How does not, I equate it to a football GM, to what he does, a football general manager, so American football. How the hell do you keep a job that long? You have the bouncing up and down, you're bouncing up and down. It's come on. And you think after having, and again, I'm using my short 2 years of falling in love with this team, five managers at some point. Yeah.
To be fair, it's a little bit weird in Europe.
But I think I think back then, like with the first relegation, maybe also with the second relegation, like Gegenbauer or whoever, there was just nobody had a plan B. I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, Gegenbauer forced Preetz to come, and he forced Hoeneß to leave at that time. Like, that was a political decision made by him and maybe also by other ones. But like at Hertha at that time, everybody listened to Gegenbauer, the president.
Okay.
And so I think back then there was no plan B who to get if not Preetz, you know. Mm. And Gegenbauer was very attached to Preetz, and so that's why he also said that if I'm a president, only with me as a president, you will have Preetz. And so he always connected this position to himself as a person.
Still?
So
I think, still
not,
now?
Not anymore, no.
Okay, good.
No, back then. With the,
okay.
with both the relegations, like with the second relegation, the sentence what he said. And yeah, it's... But that also it sums up with this opinion what I just mentioned before, with this tenor what I just mentioned before, that there's not a lot of movement. There's many things like they looked a lot for harmony within the team, and there's no real corrective, somebody who can like put a fist on the table and say like we need to take a different direction. That did not happen. It happened now.
Finally.
I think we might be on a good way, but okay, I said that a few times already.
You're the optimistic one in the bunch, but
it's the Hertha way.
Yeah, this is the way. The next few games will be difficult though. Stuttgart, Leipzig, Wolfsburg, Augsburg. That should be better, but still. Why don't we switch to the listener questions? We had a few questions on Twitter. Mind if we do that, or was there anything else at all that?
No, but maybe one short thing. Okay, there are three difficult games, but we have to win the next one, because if we can beat a team, then it's rather Stuttgart and not so much Leipzig and Wolfsburg. Even if I think Wolfsburg we should always be able to beat. Also Leipzig we should always be able to beat. But Stuttgart they live a lot from the euphoria from the relegation into the first league. And, you know, it's not a top-notch team. So that's actually... We have to win that because the other ones are going to be difficult.
Yes. although Wolfsburg is third right now.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know. I thought it would be they would be lower, to be honest. Okay.
It's wishful
looking
thinking.
Looking at the table, we're better than just looking at it. We're on par, I would say, with a team of Gladbach and Freiburg. We should be in that top eight, top nine, and it's just disheartening. And I definitely, the winnable game coming up is, I would say, Augsburg, Stuttgart, but the other ones are just going to be
going to be difficult.
Tough. Yeah.
Stuttgart is 10th right now. Union is 9th. For fuck's sake. Anyway, that's another topic entirely.
As long as we're derby sieger, I don't care.
yeah, good point. Good point. All right, so listener questions. Let's see.
Brian said about should we change the format completely and talk about something else?
The format of the podcast?
What did he say? Change the format, it couldn't hurt, he said.
Yeah, changing format couldn't hurt. Well,
so
yeah, okay.
We could talk about knitting or something like that.
Well, yeah. We would be faithful to the name of the podcast. You know, that would be a good start, I guess.
It would be, yes. But, only joking there, guys.
Yeah. No, yeah, we are. You guys are stuck with us. We'll keep talking about Hertha, rain or shine. Yeah. All right. Okay, Josh asks, are we in dire straits or will PAL be able to get us to shore safely? What effects will this season have on our medium to long-term goals? That's a good question. I mean, I think
dire
right
straits?
Now... Yeah,
yes.
Yes, yeah, for sure. I think personally, right now, I'd say the priority is don't get relegated. And in the summer, then we can rebuild for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dire straits, I would say, jokingly, possibly, but we're only goal differential away from relegation playoff. We have the talent. We have the people. I think to harp on what Klinsmann said a while back, we're going to have to sell some people, but get someone in there, let them spend that money to have the team that they want to play the style they want. We've had, again, four additional managers in the last year, each coming in to try and play their style, and squandered away $100 million on this.
Yeah.
Put someone in, maybe take a lower to mid-level finish this year and next, but let them play their style.
And also the game, Bielefeld was supposed to play Bremen today and the game was postponed. So we don't know if we are in the relegation zone yet. The suspense, keeps on going. So, yeah.
That's also my opinion is also a bit the same. But I also think like that's why we didn't spend so much money now in the winter because... with the position what we have at the moment, like you can, of course, you can if you're lucky, you can get someone for a lot of money who will come, but you can't buy anyone who, you know, we want to reach Europe in this season, and nobody will come for a lot of money to just help a team like us with no name on Europe helping to fight relegation fights. That's you don't get anyone. So I think that's also why the Dardai solution was chosen, even if I would like that he would be a long-term solution, but that's another thing. But that's why you also don't get a good manager for this kind of relegation fight, and then, you know, you don't get the right place in the summer, whatever. So I think Dardai would be a very nice long-term solution as well, but I think in the summer, probably the money will... Like we'll make a few bigger transfers, I think, more future related transfers.
Yeah, because the medium long term goals. I remember, as you said, Marcos, that we were talking about, you know, reaching Europe maybe. The only way Hertha is in Europe right now, it's because of the actual location. They are in Europe, and that's the only way they are in Europe right now, and maybe for next year as well. But, mid to long-term goals, fuck, man,
Do we have to explain to the listeners what Europe means? Because Europe is something we would just say, like the European
Europa League or Champion.
Okay, like Champions League or Europa League. Or isn't next year also the third Europa, like Europa Conference? Or is it the season after?
I don't remember, but I think in Germany it's the first four teams get in the Champions League, fifth and sixth Europa League, and then maybe a seventh for the Europa Conference, I guess. Is that it?
It depends who ends up being top of the league.
Okay.
Because that's how we sneaked into Europe the last time, was because we were in seventh place.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, I remember.
Which I enjoyed tremendously, but...
You went to Bilbao, lucky you.
Yeah.
Awesome city.
Great, good. Yeah.
Did you go to Östersund as well?
No, I couldn't get any accommodation or anything there. It was quite hard to get to. I know, some people did, but I didn't make it. I looked into that before I looked into Bilbao. Actually, but it was too tricky. But I met up with a bunch of people from Axel Kruse Jugend, the fan group and things down in Bilbao, and it was quite weird wandering around the city and just bumping into people that you knew. It was kind of odd, really. But hey, anyway,
good.
We digress.
Oh yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do. All right, so Exil Ertana podcast has a good question there. Maybe I'll say it's above my pay grade, but maybe you guys can handle that one. Okay, who will probably replace Nemanja Radonjić in the starting team? Dardai played as a sixer when he was an active player. Which changes did he make versus Bayern in this position? What are his future positioning options in front of the defensive line?
Radonjić, you mean, or Khedira?
He says Radonjić.
Ah, okay. Well, I think he got... we took him as a left winger, like a forward winger, or how you call that. That's why what he was taken for. Instead of... Because Dilrosun is injured so much, so that's what I think. But it could also be an option for because he also plays on the right wing and also a bit in the center, but these are more his side positions. So he could also make some fire. Like if Dilrosun is back, he could also be the first option to make, to replace, I forgot his name, Dori Lukebakio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
or to challenge him, say, okay, now Radonjić plays, so look back, you know, you have to prove yourself.
You have to sit.
That's what I would do if I would be that way. Exactly.
Low bar. Don't go off sides. Every play.
Yeah. Good plan.
Point. Good point, yes. Jesus. Okay, so next question, if that's okay. Exil Ertana again. Erta already played not badly against Hoffenheim and Bremen, but they lost the game. A point would also have been achievable in the games against Frankfurt and Bayern, but they lost again. Will the team be discouraged by this?
No. Yes.
No.
Mike, you decide.
I'm going to say, and this is just come from like a psychological, like a thought standpoint, they have to learn how to win, and they have to have that when it gets down to the tough point, instead of ducking their heads and going, man, this is going to be a point or this is going to be a loss, saying we got this, looking around the pitch and saying we got this, we can get that point. So I think they just have to relearn how to win instead of expecting to lose. So,
good point.
Yeah.
I guess that doesn't. It takes time.
To be fair, it's bound to affect them, isn't it? But they have to overcome that, and to some extent, that's the manager's job to do that, to get the team in the right mindset to overcome that.
And I think with Powell, we'll definitely have that cheerleader and that not necessarily cheerleader, but look and be like, yeah, let's go. We got this. No bullshit.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. you know, don't go out there and hang your head when you go down. You know, they played really good the other day, Friday. And other than that, just the goal you got to tip your cap to. Yeah, they could have been walked away with a point.
Yeah, that goal was pure being unlucky. You know, nothing else, pretty much.
Yeah. All right. You also saw. I wouldn't agree on your no, Simon. Let's go out in the snow. because like first, like already in the Frankfurt game when Piontek shot this goal, like. The way the team celebrated, I don't know if you saw that, but they were really, really, really behaving and celebrating his goal as a team, you know, like cheering, like running towards Dardai and cheering really as a group, like they really felt as a team. And also actually the game against Bayern, I still like, at the end, I felt as a kind of winner, even if we lost. Like I had this feeling of, we won the game. It was like, yeah. I don't know, the team, you really saw them fighting. You really saw them being in a good mood and having the courage and everything. I think we were in a good way. And,
We could have lost 8-0.
Yeah.
It could have been worse.
I'm guilty of being cynical here, but I do absolutely know what you mean in that Bayern game where really – We lost by a fluke almost, and we played pretty well against a sort of top flight team. Yeah. When I said no, you know, it's just my sort of gut reaction being a cynical old sod. I think is really what it amounts to. I don't know.
I mean, after enough time, after a long enough period, every Hertha fan will be. Bound to cynicism for sure.
Well, I love this team. That's why I love them. They have the same type of mentality as a Bostonian. We're just salty as hell to begin with.
Yeah. Okay. That yeah. works.
We're all still here, so you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what can you say?
One might say we're masochists for the team we root for.
Oh, shout out to that Twitter handle of it's masochists for Hertha.
Yeah.
With a
love that
a whip,
like with a blue whip.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I've forgotten the actual sort of proper Hertha name, but that was brilliant. Just love that.
big shout to them. Well done.
Yeah.
I don't know who's behind it, but
no idea.
I like it.
Yeah, you know them. They're from our fan club. So.
Oh, are they?
Okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea who's behind it.
Okay. So I'll tell you off when the mic is off.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so Knipper asks, how can a fan keep his hope?
Drinking,
yeah.
Yeah. Roast.
Yes, nice. I mean, I would join you, but it's only 1:40 p.m. here, so it's a bit early.
Doesn't always stop me, so.
Yeah, I can completely understand these days. I mean,
Luka Netz, the young talent we have, there's talent. And that's how I say we can keep the hope, and we're better than what we've shown. So, just don't start selling off the young talent.
Yeah,
I mean the one Zamardzic left for Leipzig, and he is glued to the bench. I think I don't know if he's even played at all this year, right? Or maybe one or two appearances at the end of the game or something. I mean, he's been invisible pretty much, right?
Arnie Meyer over.
Oh, Meyer, yes. Meyer. Yeah. And there was someone else.
Davey bit us in our ass.
Sorry?
With Zelka. Davey bit us in our ass with Zelka.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And Duda. I don't know where he is. And he was at Norwich last season.
Yeah, but he moved on from Norwich, didn't he?
Yeah,
he's in Cologne.
That's it. Yep. Okay. Yep. Cologne. So
they're putting him in a position to win. They're using him as a target man to get the ball to him to have him start getting some shots on net and in creating. I think he is their highest point scorer last I could be wrong, but he's one of their top point scorers right now this year.
Okay, so let's hope mistakes like these don't happen too often, because that would be... I know they still have a few young players. That's okay.
I'm a fanboy for Duda.
Okay. I know that Hertha still has several good young players, but I hope they don't waste them, you know?
I think one of the important things, you know, sort of coming up... into the future, if they're going to spend money on bringing people in, what they have to do is to build a team that actually sort of works well together. We've got some sort of, you know, really quite remarkable talent. I mean, Cunha is you know, sort of one example. He's sort of very impressive, but he doesn't necessarily always work well with the team. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. He takes the old sort of selfish shot when he shouldn't do, and what have you. But what they have to try to do now, sort of going through into the future, is sort of build a team, not necessarily that are the best players in the universe kind of thing, but players that will work well with the rest of the team,
mm-hmm.
to try to build something that works, which is an easy thing to say, but a damn difficult thing to actually sort of do in reality.
Yeah. Maybe the best we can hope is for the next seasons is stability and a clear vision. Once they get that going, things will be looking up already, I think. Fingers crossed. Okay, so next questions. Exil Ertaner again. He's on fire. Two new players. What was Erta's motivation for signing them? What performance did they show in the game? Do they help? With Dardai, Erta is playing as a team again. Is Dardai a better tactician or a better psychologist and motivator? Which details were successfully improved? Okay, so the newcomers are Khedira and not Ramonic. What's his name?
Radonic.
Radon. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So those are the two newcomers. Okay. So there are a bunch of questions in that question. So is Dardai a better tactician or a better psychologist?
The narrative says that when he was working with Wittmeier, that Wittmeier was the tactologicalist.
Okay.
And he was the motivator.
Tactologician.
The professor. And I'm not so sure about that. I think many people underestimate Dardai. I think he's both a bit. But then there were also I heard about that Wittmeier was very much doing the tactics for the defense and Dardai more the offense. I heard many things. I don't know.
Isn't that surprising? Because Dardai was a
defensive midfielder.
I don't know. I always assume that if he had to choose a side, that he would rather coach the defensive side.
Yeah, unless you have Wittmeier, who is apparently a specialist. I don't know if that's true, but then of course I would say, okay, then be the specialist. But that would also explain why the team back then never played a good offense, because there was nobody doing tactics in the offense. That would explain that. I'm not sure about that. I actually think... it's not just that I think, but you often hear that 30% of being a coach is being a good boss, and then 30% is luck, and 30% is tactics, or let's like 33.3 periodic.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, so what about the last 10%? Is this
last 10%? It's the good food. You shouldn't eat pizza.
That's donuts.
Yes.
You shouldn't get piss and not get smoke. So I think like if Dardai already is good with this 30% of just being a good coach, being a good father figure and motivate them, that's already 30%, and then 30% luck. Okay, we can have the luck, and then tactics, I don't know. So now we are a 66.6% good team.
Yes, exactly. So were you happy about those two signings, Khedira and the other guy? Whose name I just forgot again.
You always remember it because it's this graphical cards. They are Radeon HD, so that's why I remember, like Radon.
Oh, okay.
And then something Yugoslavian behind, like Radon. Radonish.
Okay, yeah, that works.
Radonish. Okay. Okay.
So, were you happy about those two signings, Mike? What did you think?
I think Kader is going to bring some energy, some passion, as we saw in his interviews. So, hopefully, having that little spark and that spitfire around it, I think it's going to do something good, and you know. Anytime you bring someone in, people are going to be looking behind them, looking to see if their job is safe, looking to see if their spot's safe. It's never bad.
Maybe some competition from within the team is a good thing, especially in this case.
Plus, you got someone who can play Doty's position. Come on, no more offsides.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No more offsides. Yeah, that should be the new
what's so annoying season. what's so annoying with Doty is that he can be very good, but then a lot of the time he's not, which is such a shame. If somebody could fix that, then he'd be a really handy player. But
he looked better last season, right? Or is it me? He was better last season, right?
Or even the beginning of this season, I don't know what's happened. Mm. One thing that I thought was interesting is that for the Bayern match, they left out Guendouzi for the start, and they put him on as a sub afterwards, because I didn't see the full match against Frankfurt. I need sort of highlights and things that I could manage to sort of pick off the net. But when I saw him sort of playing there, he didn't really sort of contribute that much and things to the game. So they sort of left him off for a big chunk of the game against Bayern and brought him on later on. So whether that sort of contributes to, or sort of, you know, is something underlying behind sort of Dardai's thinking. Or perhaps he thought he just needed a kick up the arse so he could sort of come on and do something better the next time round. Yeah,
that's a good question. I mean, I remember at Arsenal, Guendouzi was kind of a problem case, pretty much. You know, he seemed to have a questionable attitude sometimes. Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe, like you say, maybe he needed just, you know, a sit down and just, you know, keep your head, keep your shit together, and you know, stop acting like a moron. And
well, there was that thing about him and Cunha having this sort of a little discussion going down the escalator in the Olympic Stadion.
I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
There was a bit of argy-bargy going on there.
But again, isn't it good then? Like, if the two best players, if they are pissed at each other,
I don't see it as necessarily bad. But I mean, it depends if the team is imploding. That's something else. But in this case, I think it's if someone fucks up. Mm-hmm. Call them out on it, and maybe he will be
I guess there's two ways of looking at that. Yeah,
but is he? I mean, he did not do like any negative, or so, like he was playing actually always very well. I mean, he's not somebody who speeds up the game, but he's very good at like controlling the ball and passing it. But like he's slowing down the game sometimes a bit, especially when we play counterattacks. That's something what Dare wants to play. But, maybe that's a reason, because he's not the counterattack player so much. And like Dare also mentioned in this conference after this game that with these players we have to be a counter team, like counter attack team. So that could be a reason. But on the other side, I also think maybe now he shows that to the team that everybody is replaceable. You know, he takes out everyone. Everybody's replaceable. He showed that with Schwolo and Jastrzemski, which was super surprising. And then also this move, and then also other things. I think that's a good sign to show everybody. Like if you don't do your best, you're replaceable, even Guendouzi, who I think is best of all.
That's interesting. With Schwalow and Yarstein coming on, do you think we're going to keep seeing Yarstein? I don't know if you guys covered this earlier, if you did.
No, we didn't. Personally, I would keep Yarstein in for sure. Because Schwalow, he hasn't been really bad, but he hasn't been great either. And Yarstein can be great sometimes. So I prefer our chances with Yarstein.
The last couple of games, Yarstein's been pretty good, really. And back in the day, he was in my mind, many times, loads of times. So perhaps he needed that little spell out because he definitely went off the boil for quite a long spell. Perhaps he needed that little time out and somebody else coming in to replace him. Get him on the even keel
within again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What happens if Yarstein still, stands on his head and keeps playing the way he is? End of the year, you have Schwalow that we brought in for, what was it, $8 million this year? And we have a 35-year-old who's playing on his head. I was clamoring for a new keeper last year, but absence makes the heart grow fonder.
But that I explained it very good because nobody really could explain it, why it happened. Everybody was very surprised. But then at the end of the game, he said, I spoke with Schwalow, and I just think he didn't have the Torwart Glück, which translates into goalkeeper's luck. Goalie's luck.
Goalie's luck. No.
I remember his old joke. One of the things because I think actually Schwalow is the future probably, but then when Yarstein came in and had a few of these super saves, then I realized, oh shit, since we had Schwalow, we didn't have these kind of, we haven't did super saves anymore. Yarstein had two or three in this Frankfurt game, and I really thought wow, I was missing this one. I was really, because with Schwalow, they probably would have been in.
Probably.
Even if I like Schwalow, he's a real, his character, the way he is, he's very positive and he's very spoken out, and he's a leader, he's a boss with a very positive attitude. But these super goals, I was missing them.
Yeah. I can remember over many, many years, having to sort of put in hash Yarstein with a little applause on Twitter. So many times. He saved our bacon so many times. Yeah.
And when it comes to tactical aspects like ball distribution or being good with with the ball at his feet or something, there is no real difference between Yarstein and Schwalow.
No.
They are pretty much the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Except that everybody's saying that Yarstein is slowing a bit the game.
Okay.
But, I heard it a few times, but I didn't really measure. I wasn't there with a second.
with a stopwatch?
No.
Well, I mean, that really didn't stop them in the past. Like with Yarstein in goal and Dardai coaching, it wasn't really a problem back then. So I think it would be one now, but who knows? Who knows?
But for being a counterattack team, it would maybe be good if somebody would just hit the ball.
Well, I mean, it's not if Alisson Becker in Liverpool, if he was available, I would say fuck, let's pick him up. We're gonna have our good goalkeeper to start a counterattack. That's the listener questions. Do we have anything else to cover, or is that it pretty much? Or
I will put online today or tomorrow, well, tomorrow probably, Simon's text about how he fell in love with Hertha.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, nice.
He wrote a text for Axel Jugend Kruse. Axel Kruse Jugend's blog.
Yeah. we understood.
Yeah, it's okay.
I say this word so often that in English it turns around. Yeah, bring it online tomorrow morning probably, or today or tomorrow. So in English, so everybody can read it as well.
You'll tweet about it anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll probably do a sort of a variant on that I'll send off to Hertha. Because they're doing these things of fans from other countries that follow Hertha. I've noticed them tweeting about them recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I might sort of chuck something up there.
Okay, yeah. Good idea. Sounds good. And Mike, where can we reach you online?
So I... MJ_Bejin, BEGIN on Twitter. Other than that, I'm really just in the Hertha North American official fan club chat a lot. You'll see me cursing out my yearly displeasure, my yearly player that I disliked. Last year was Wolf, and I think this year is just losing, but no, it's I try to keep a minimal presence online, keep my head low, but no,
I've tried.
I'm on Twitter a little bit. You'll see me on Twitter most actively, or actually in the group,
the WhatsApp group.
The WhatsApp group. Yes, that's the word I was looking for. WhatsApp. You'll see me in that WhatsApp group.
You can curse as much as you want in the WhatsApp group. That's not a problem. I can confirm that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trust me. All right. It's warm, welcoming, and fun. So if anyone is listening, trust me, it's more of a self-help group on when they play, when Hertha plays. It's really what it is.
Yeah. It's welcome to Hertha.
Yeah. This is the Hertha way for sure. All right. So, and Marcos, what about you? Where can we reach you online? I mean, this is the first episode in 2 months, so we got to refresh some memories.
Don't forget, I am MX Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer with one F. Like Michelle Pfeiffer, like the actress, but then with one F.
Only one F. All right.
Only right. Better looking, Marcos.
Hairier.
I say nothing.
there's nothing more to say. All right. And so, yeah, that's it. So... thank you for listening, and thank you guys for coming along today, and so we can shoot the shit and talk about our pain, mutual pain, collective pain.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Thank you for allowing me to jump in. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, welcome, Mike.
Another therapy session over.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Free of charge.
Typically, I got to bill my insurance for this and pay a copay, but this is better.
Okay, awesome.
Free is good.
Yes, free is good. So, all right. So, thanks, everyone. And AOE, Hertha BSC.
Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Thanks.
Thank you. Aye.